first aorist active and middle indicative verbs, and the study of deponent verbs. In this lesson, we are going to study the first aorist active and the first aorist middle indicative verbs. The aorist tense. The aorist tense denotes simple or single action in past time. Compared to the imperfect tense, remember that the imperfect tense is continuous action in the past. This is a simple act or single action in past time. The active voice denotes the subject in the sentence is doing the action to someone rather than the subject doing the action to or for himself or receiving the action. The indicative mood denotes the verb is expressing a factual statement as opposed to an expression of a possibility, a wish, or a command. So again, the aorist tense. We've studied the present tense so far, which is continuous action at the present time. We've studied the future tense, that's action in the future. We've studied the imperfect tense, which is continuous action in the past time. And now the aorist tense, simple or single action in past time. The augment of past tense verbs. Verbs that express past tense action have an augment placed at the beginning of the stem of the verb. So the same rule of augment of past tense verbs that apply to the imperfect tense also applies to the aorist tense because both denote past action. Imperfect tense, continuous action in past. Aorist tense denoting simple or single action in the past. So first of all, the augment placed at the beginning of the stem of verbs that do not begin with a vowel is epsilon. Example, luo, that's your present tense form, I loose, when put in the aorist tense, is changed to elusa. Broken down, that means the epsilon is your augment placed at the beginning of the stem of lu, and your sigma alpha is your first person singular, first aorist, personal ending. So you have your augment and your first aorist, personal ending attached to the stem of the verb. Secondly, verbs that begin with a vowel lengthen that vowel except alpha lengthens to eta. There's an example of akuo. That's your present tense form, akuo, I hear. The alpha lengthens to eta when changing to the aorist tense. Ekusa is your first person singular, aorist active indicative, I heard. Single or simple act in past time. Lesson 24, page 2. First aorist, active, indicative, augment, and endings. By the way, as a side note, it's called the first aorist because there is a second aorist, and we'll take the second aorist in the next lesson. The first and second aorist function exactly alike. That is, they both express simple or single action in past time. The difference is the endings. And some words have a second aorist stem. The stem of the word actually changes. And we'll study that in our next lesson, as I said. But for now, know that first aorist active indicative augment and endings are as follows. In the singular first person, I is the augment epsilon. attached to the front of the stem of the verb, and sigma alpha, saw. The first person plural we is the augment epsilon along with saw men. Now, you should fix in your mind that the sigma alpha is the sign of the aorist, sigma alpha. Notice the men, first person plural. For the present active indicative, it was luo men. The omicron is replaced by the sigma alpha of the aorist along with the augment. Second person singular. The augment epsilon and the ending sos. Second person plural. The augment epsilon and the ending sate. Remember, the present active indicative was ete. The epsilon is replaced by the sigma alpha, sate. The third person singular, he, she, or it, is the augment epsilon along with sen or se. Notice the movable nu. The third person plural, they, the augment epsilon, along with your first aorist active indicative personal ending, san. Again, notice the predominant emphasis on sigma alpha. The third person singular has the movable nu. When the third person singular comes before a word that starts with a vowel, or it comes at the end of a sentence, a nu, called a movable nu, is added to it. This rule applies only where the movable nu occurs. The movable nu occurs in very few forms. Lesson 24, page 3. The first aorist active indicative of luo, I loose. Here we have the augment and the first aorist active indicative personal endings attached to the stem. Your first person singular, elusa, I loosed, showing a simple act in past time. First person plural, elusamen, we loosed. Your second person singular, elusas, you loosed. Your second person plural, elusate, you or ye, denoting plural, loosed. Third person singular, elusen, or eluse, he or she loosed. And your third person plural, elusan, they loosed. The third person singular has the movable nu. Lesson 24, page 4. The first aorist middle augment and endings. We just studied the first aorist active indicative. This is the first aorist middle indicative. The first person singular, you have the augment epsilon. And you have the first person singular personal ending, samen. Notice the sigma alpha. Again, the predominant characteristic of the ending. Your first person plural is the augment epsilon along with the personal ending samatha. Notice the omicron of the present tense is replaced by the sigma alpha, and that denotes the aorist tense. This is a middle indicative ending. Remember, the middle voice denotes that the subject is doing the action to or for himself. Your second person singular, you, the augment epsilon, and the personal ending, so. Your second person plural, you or ye, you have your augment epsilon and your personal ending, sosthe, instead of esthe of the present tense system, you have the sigma alpha, sosthe, instead of esthe. Your third person singular, he, she, or it, you have your augment epsilon and the personal ending, sato. Your third person plural, they, you have your augment epsilon along with the personal ending of the third person plural, santo. Vocabulary words for this lesson. We have two regular verbs. The word ago means I lead. Ago. Skeno'o. I encamp or I pitch a tent. The word skene is the noun for tent. Skeno'o is the verb form which shows the action of pitching a tent or making camp. We also have deponent verbs, and we're going to study deponent verbs in a moment. A deponent verb, exegeomai. Again, exegeomai. I lead, I detail, I narrate. Theaomai, I view, I discern. Notice the omai endings on what are called the deponent verbs. At the bottom of page 4 is the explanation of a deponent verb. A deponent verb is a verb that has no active form, only middle or passive. The middle form of the deponent verb is active in meaning. In other words, there are no active endings for these verbs. They don't begin at the active endings. They begin at the middle passive endings. But the meaning is not middle passive. It's active. It's as if it is an active ending on it. So, instead of your first person singular, present active indicative as the root form, it is actually the middle indicative that is the root form. It's as far back as you can go with these verbs. But it's not translated as a middle or a passive. It's translated as an active. They're called deponent verbs. Example, theaomai is I view. Notice it has the omai, first person singular, middle voice ending. Theaomai, but instead of saying I viewed for myself, it's I view as if it's a present tense verb. It has the middle personal ending, but it has the active translation or meaning. Lesson 24, page 5. The first aorist middle indicative of luo. First person singular. Elisamein. Notice the augment epsilon. And the first person singular, first aorist middle personal ending, samein. Your first person plural is elusa metha. Instead of o metha, it's sa metha. Your first person singular is I loosed for myself. Elusa metha is we loosed for ourselves. Second person singular, eluso. You loosed for yourself. And elusaste. You or ye loosed for yourselves. Your third person singular, elusato. He loosed for himself, and elusanto. They loosed for themselves. On pages 6 and 7, we have what is called a verb comparison chart. The verbs that we have studied so far are broken down into augments, stems, tense suffix, variable vowels, and the personal endings, so that you can see them in comparison with each other. On pages 6 and 7, you have the active voice. Page 6, you have the singular, and page 7, you have the plural. Let's look at them. First of all, page 6, the active voice in the singular first person, I. Notice the present active indicative is lu with the personal ending o, omega. The future active has the stem lu, but it has a tense suffix. The sigma is the tense suffix, but with the same personal ending as the present. So when you add the sigma to the stem and add the personal ending of the present active indicative, you actually have the future active indicative. Luo is I am loosing. Luso is I will loose. Your imperfect active indicative first person singular is eluon. Your first aorist active indicative is elusa. Your sigma alpha is the sign of the aorist. Your second person singular in the present active indicative is luace. Notice the future, you just add a sigma as a tense suffix. Luces. Your imperfect active indicative second person singular is elues. Remember, the imperfect active indicative is continuous action in past time, but the first aorist active indicative, simple or single action in past time, is elusas. But notice the tense suffix sigma along with the alpha, denoting the aorist tense. Third person singular, he, she, or it. The present active indicative is lue. The future active indicative is luce. The tense suffix sigma is added to the present personal endings to bring it into the future tense. Interesting comparison in the third person singular for both of the past action tenses. The imperfect active indicative is eluen. The aorist is elusen. The sigma tense suffix is added to the first aorist active indicative. One denotes continuous action. One denotes simple or single action. On pages 6 and 7, we have what is called a verb comparison chart. The verbs that we have studied so far are broken down into augments, stems, tense suffix, variable vowels, and the personal endings, so that you can see them in comparison with each other. On pages 6 and 7, you have the active voice. Page 6, you have the singular, and page 7, you have the plural. Let's look at them. First of all, page 6, the active voice in the singular first person, I. Notice the present active indicative is lu with the personal ending o, omega. The future active has the stem lu, but it has a tense suffix. The sigma is the tense suffix, but with the same personal ending as the present. So when you add the sigma to the stem and add the personal ending of the present active indicative, you actually have the future active indicative. Luo is I am loosing. Luso is I will loose. Your imperfect active indicative first person singular is eluon. Your first aorist active indicative is elusa. Your sigma alpha is the sign of the aorist. Your second person singular in the present active indicative is luas. Notice the future, you just add a sigma as a tense suffix, luces. Your imperfect active indicative second person singular is elues. Remember, the imperfect active indicative is continuous action in past time, but the first aorist active indicative, simple or single action in past time, is elusas. But notice the tense suffix sigma along with the alpha, denoting the aorist tense. Third person singular, he, she, or it. The present active indicative is lue. The future active indicative is luce. The tense suffix sigma is added to the present personal endings to bring it into the future tense. Interesting comparison in the third person singular for both of the past action tenses. The imperfect active indicative is eluen. The aorist is elusen. The sigma tense suffix is added to the first aorist active indicative. One denotes continuous action, one denotes simple or single action. Now notice page 7, the plural forms of the active voice. In the present active indicative, luomen. In fact, notice all four tenses, the personal ending is men. Notice the augment section. The two past tense tenses have the augment. The future active indicative has the sigma omicron. The imperfect active is just like the present active. Present active is luomen. Imperfect active is eluomen. And the aorist active is elusamen, sigma alpha. So the omicron changes to a sigma alpha for the aorist, denoting simple or single action in past time. The second person plural, you or ye. The present tense is luete. The future active is lucete. Add a sigma at the end of the stem. The imperfect, notice again, the imperfect and first aorist are the same, the te endings, but with the imperfect, it's the epsilon as the variable vowel, and with the aorist active, it's sigma alpha. The third person plural, they. The present active indicative is luusin. The future active is lususin, sigma added. The imperfect active is eluon, and the aorist active is elusan. Notice the omicron of the imperfect tense is replaced by the sigma alpha of the aorist active indicative. Now pages 8 and 9, which is the verb comparison chart for the middle voice. That is, the subject is doing the action to or for himself. Taking the singular in page 8, the present middle indicative is luomai. The future is lusomai. Again, adding the sigma. The imperfect middle indicative is eluomain. Notice the augment of past tense. The first aorist middle indicative is elusamain. The difference between the imperfect and the first aorist is the omicron of the imperfect is replaced by the sigma alpha of the aorist. Second person singular, present middle indicative, lue. The future, luce. Imperfect middle, second person, elu'u. And first aorist middle indicative, eluso. It's quite a difference between the imperfect and first aorist. Your third person singular, present middle indicative, lu'etai. Your future middle is lu'setai, adding the sigma. Then you have the imperfect middle, elu'eto, and your first aorist, elu'sato. Notice both have the toe endings. The imperfect has the epsilon, variable vowel. That epsilon is replaced by the sigma alpha of the aorist, sato and eto. Page 9, the middle voice, plural. First person, we. The present middle indicative is luometha. The future middle is lusometha. The imperfect middle is eluometha. The augment epsilon, the omicron variable vowel with the first person plural metha ending. Now the first aorist middle is elusometha. The sigma alpha takes the place of the omicron of the imperfect middle. Your second person plural present middle indicative luestha with a variable vowel epsilon. The future middle is luestha. Your imperfect middle, elu-es-the, which is the same form as the present, except it has an augment in front of it. Your first aorist middle, elu-sas-the, so the epsilon is replaced by the sigma alpha. Your third person plural, present middle indicative, lu-on-tai. Your future is lu-son-tai. Your imperfect middle indicative, e-lu-on-to. Notice the omicron variable vowel. And your first aorist middle indicative is e-lu-san-to. Instead of the omicron, it's the sigma alpha of the first aorist. We'll continue to build and add to these verb comparison charts as we move through and study more verb forms. Lesson 24, Exercise 1, the pronunciation exercises. In this exercise, we're going to read John 1, 1 through 18, and study the first aorist active and middle verbs. All of the material that we have studied in lessons 11 through 23 are now underlined and parsed in the text. It would be beneficial for you to take the charts on first aorist active and middle verbs, pages 33 and 34, out of the charts section of your notebook for reference as we go through this exercise. We're going to begin our reading on line 1. N-R-K, in beginning. N is the preposition used with the dative case, R-K, which is the dative singular feminine first declension noun. In beginning, ain. Ain is third person singular imperfect active indicative showing continuous action in past time. Of the verb eimi, special verb, meaning existence. In beginning was, continuously, in past time. Hologos, Logos is your nominative singular masculine second declension noun, along with the nominative singular masculine article ho, which is a proclitic. That is, it goes so closely with the word that follows so as to have no accent of its own. The article also matches the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. Hologos. Kai is your conjunction and, line 2. Hologos ein pros ton theon. Pros is a preposition used with the accusative case, translated with. Your accusative case is ton theon, which is your accusative singular masculine second declension noun. That's the masculine declension. Theon is the accusative of theos, for God. Pros has the sense of toward God, that is face to face with him, showing equality, and the word was equal to God. Line 3. Kai theos ein hologos. And God was the word. Notice theos, your nominative singular masculine second declension noun. Line 3 at verse 2. Houtos, this one. That's your nominative singular masculine. Notice your omicron sigma ending of your nominative singular masculine. It is a demonstrative pronoun. That is, it's pointing something out or emphasizing someone or something. This is your near demonstrative. This one, pointing to someone near. This one, ein NRK. This one was in beginning, pros ton theon, equal to, equal with God. Line 5. Panta diautu agenito. All things. Panta is your third declension adjective. And in a couple of lessons, when we take third declension, we will study both the nouns and the adjectives. Panta diautu. D is a preposition, dia, but notice the elision mark at the end of the iota, because the following word after it begins with a vowel, therefore the vowel on dia is elided, and an elision mark is put there, diautu. Dia is a preposition with the genitive. When used with the genitive, it is translated through. Autu is your genitive singular masculine. Notice your u ending, omicron upsilon. Third person, personal pronoun. All things through him, agenito, became. Now, in our next lesson, lesson 25, we're going to study second aorist active indicative verbs. Remember, second aorist functions exactly like the first aorist, except they have a different ending system with it. Agenito is a second aorist of the deponent verb ginomai. So in next lesson, we'll study agenito for became, simple act in past time. Kai choris. And without him, choris autu. Choris is another preposition when used with the genitive, is translated without or separate from. Autu being your genitive singular masculine, third person personal pronoun, him. And without him, became, agenito, again a second aorist verb, not even, ude, one thing which has become, gegonen. It's another different tense verb there, a perfect tense for gegonen. We'll study the perfect tense later, but a perfect tense verb is present condition based upon past action. Something happened in the past that made it continuous in its effect up to this time. So, and a separate from him, not one thing has become, which has become, that is, has been created and stands created up to the present moment. Lesson 24, page 11, line 7. En auto, in him, Again, the preposition en used with the dative. In this case, it's the dative singular masculine third person personal pronoun him. In him, life was zoe ein. Zoe is your nominative singular feminine first declension noun. That's your feminine declension. In him, life was. Notice again, ein, your third person singular, imperfect active indicative of a me, showing continuous action in past time. In him, life was continually in existence. Kai he zoe, and the life, again zoe repeated, with the definite article, he. Again, he, the definite article matches the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. He also is a proclitic, in that it goes so closely with the word that follows as to have no accent of its own. Kai he zoe, line 8, ein tophos, and the life was the light. Phos is a third declension noun. We'll take those in a few lessons. And the life was the light, ton anthropon, of the men. Your genitive plural masculine, second declension noun, anthropon. Notice the omega nu ending, which is the predominant genitive plural ending, and your article that matches in gender, number, and case, ton anthropon, line 9, which is verse 5 of John 1. Kai tophos, and the light, en te skotia, in the darkness. Again, the preposition en always takes the dative case. In this instance, skotia is the dative singular feminine first declension noun along with its matching article. In the darkness, line 10. And the light in the darkness is shining. So the light is shining. Notice phine in line 10. It's the third person singular present active indicative, meaning it's presently shining and it is continuous. And the light is shining in the darkness. Kai he skotia, and the darkness, in this case skotia, is now a nominative case noun, showing that it is the subject of the sentence. Kai he skotia, and the darkness, it, not, your negative particle, u, kateleben, the darkness could not overtake it, kateleben. Now, kateleben is also a second aorist verb, which we'll take in our next lesson, showing simple act in past time. The darkness did not overtake it. Line 11, verse 6. Ageneto became anthropos, a man, anthropos, is a nominative singular masculine second declension noun. It's in the nominative case, which makes it the subject of the sentence. A man became a apestomenos, who had been sent from God, para theou. Not ek theou, meaning out from God, but para, meaning from alongside of God. Para being the preposition used with the genitive, translated from. Name to him, onoma auto, Ioannes, John, which is your nominative singular masculine of your first declension noun. Remember, the first declension is a feminine declension. This is a masculine noun of the first declension. Line 12, verse 7. Houtos, this one, again your near demonstrative. Line 13. Aelthon came eis martyrion. This one came for testimony. Aelthon, by the way, in line 13, is also a second aorist verb, showing simple act in past time, aelthon. And we'll take that next time. This one came for a testimony. Hina martyrese, in order that he might testify, peri two photos, concerning the light. Again, the preposition peri, when used with the genitive, is translated concerning or about. in order that he might testify concerning or about the light, hina pantes pestiusosi, in order that all might believe, di autu, over to page 12. That's dia, when used with the genitive case, is translated through, in order that all might believe through him. Line 15, at verse 8. Uk ein. Not was ekenos that one, tophos, the light. Notice ekenos is your demonstrative pronoun, but it's your far demonstrative. Hutos means this one, ekenos means that one. That one was not the light. Alhina maturese, but in order that he might testify, peri tu photos. Again, peri, the preposition, when used with the genitive case, in this case it's the third declension noun, photos. When used with the genitive case, peri is translated concerning or about. But that he might testify concerning the light, line 17, ein tophos, he was the light, to alethenon, the true one. Alethenon is an adjective. An adjective modifies or describes a noun. The word light is described as the true light. To alethenon is in the attributive position, showing the attributes or characteristics of the light. He was the light, the true, or more literally in English, he was the true light. Ho fotidze, which enlightens. Notice fotidze in line 18 is a third person singular, present active indicative, showing continuous action at the present. While John writes, the true light is still continuously enlightening every man, panta anthropon, coming, erkomenon, into the world, ace ton kosmon. Notice ace, the preposition with the accusative case. When it's used with the accusative case, ace is translated into, and whatever the relationship is used for into, it'll be in the accusative case. In this case, it's ton kosmon. Accusative singular masculine, second declension noun, kosmon. Line 19, verse 10. En to kosmo. Again, the preposition en used with the dative. Here it's kosmos, again, only in the dative case because it comes with the preposition en. In the world he was, en. Kai ho kosmos, and the world, diautu. Again, the preposition dia, used with the genitive case, is translated through, and the world through him, ageneto, became. Again, the word ageneto is a second aorist indicative verb. And so it means the same as a first aorist. And the world through him became. At a point in time in history, at the point of creation, everything became through him. Kai ho kosmos, and the world, auton, uk egno, and the world, him, did not know. Egno is another second aorist indicative verb. They did not know him. Line 21, verse 11. Ace ta idia, again the preposition ace used with the accusative is translated into ta idia. Idia is the accusative plural, neuter. Adjective, into the things of his own. It has ta with it, which shows the things, that is accusative plural neuter, the things, idia, adjective, showing it one's own. Into his own things, eltha, he came. That's a second aorist verb. Kai hoi idioi, and the ones of his own. Notice the change from the neuter to the masculine. Ta idia is neuter plural. Hoi idioi is masculine plural. So he came into his own things, meaning creation. and his own people, hoi idioi. They did not receive him. Auton ou parelibon. Now, parelibon is also a second aorist verb. So they did not receive him. Point in time in history. Single act in past time. Line 23 at verse 12. Hosoi, as many as, but, de. Notice the conjunction de is postpositive. That is, it stands second in the sentence. It's really translated, but as many as. Received, elabone, again a second aorist verb showing simple or single action in past time. But as many as received him, he gave, edoken, to them authority, exousion, children, tekna, of God, theo, to become, genesthai. Backing up, he gave to them, autois, is the dative plural masculine, third person personal pronoun, in the dative case showing to or for whom something is done, he gave to them authority, exousion. Exousion is in the accusative case, accusative singular feminine, first declension noun of exousia. It's in the accusative case because it shows the direct action of the verb. He gave authority to them, tekna, children of God, to become, genesthai. So he gave them authority to become children of God. That is, line 25, tois pistiousin, that is, to the ones who are believing. Notice the substantive use of the article tois. To the ones, coupled with a verb, to the ones believing, pistiousin, that's your third person plural, present active indicative, to the ones who are continuously believing, eis to onoma, into the name of him, or into his name. Again, the eis with the preposition, used with the accusative, translated into, not on his name, or concerning or about his name, but those who believe, it's active, committing oneself into his name. Line 26, verse 13. Hoi, uk ex haimaton, who not out of bloods. Ex is the preposition ek, out of, as a source. The kappa in ek has been changed to a xi because the following word begins with a vowel. So ex is actually the preposition ek. When used with the genitive, shows from out of as a source. Who not out of bloods, haimaton, you can notice the genitive plural on the end of this word, but haima is a third declension noun that we'll take later. Who not out of bloods, ude ek philematos sarkos, neither out of the will of flesh, nor ude ek philematos andros, nor out of the will of man. But notice udeh at the end of line 26 and udeh in the middle of line 27. When udeh and udeh are used in the same phrase, verse, or sentence, the first one is translated neither and the second one is translated nor. It's literally translated not even if it stands by itself. So neither out of the will of flesh nor out of the will of man, andros. Notice in line 28, andros is not anthropos, meaning the human being, but andros from aner, which is another third declension noun. Aner means the man or husband. So neither out of the will of man, the head of the family, cannot will someone into heaven. Line 28, all ektheu, but out of God were born, eganetheson. But were born out of God. Again, ek theou, preposition ek with the genitive shows out of as a source. The source of the birth has come from God. Line 28, verse 14. Kai halogos sarx agenito, and the word flesh became. Agenito is a second aorist verb, which we'll take in our next lesson. At a point in time in history, the word became flesh. It's not the verb ein, meaning was flesh, but again, at a point in time in history, he became flesh. Kai eskenosen. At the end of line 29, we have our first aorist active verb. Eskenosen is the third person singular aorist active indicative form of our verb in our vocabulary for this lesson. Skeno'o means to pitch a tent. Notice the augment epsilon and the third person singular sen on the end. The aorist tense denoting simple or single action in past time. And tabernacled, interesting, tented, skeno'o or skene is your tabernacle of the Old Testament. And tabernacled, pitched his tent among us, literally in us, en hemin. Again, en, the preposition used with the dative plural, first person, personal pronoun, hemin. Kai etha asamatha, and we beheld, tain doxon, the glory. Look at the word beheld, etha asamatha. That's your first person plural, aorist middle indicative. Now, you remember our deponent verb in our vocabulary for this lesson, theaomai. By the way, theatron is where we get our English word theater from. So to behold something is to not just look at it, but view it, like you're watching a movie. And we beheld. Notice the epsilon augment. Notice the first person plural, aorist middle indicative ending, metha. Notice the sigma alpha of the aorist, etha asa metha. And we beheld the glory of him, autu. Line 31, page 14. Glory, doxon, as of an only begotten, monogenus, para patros, from the father. Again, the preposition para, when used with the genitive, means from. That is, from, not from out of as a source, but from alongside of, like from, as in sending a messenger. Line 32. Pleires charitos kai aletheas, full of grace and truth. Aletheas is your genitive singular feminine, first declension noun, the alpha sigma, the alpha denoting feminine declension. Line 32, verse 15. Ioannes, again your masculine noun of the first declension. Ioannes, John is testifying. Martyre, third person singular, present active indicative of martyreo. The present active indicative denotes that John is continually testifying at the present time when John, the Apostle John, is writing this letter. John is testifying concerning him, peri autu. Again, the preposition peri, when used with the genitive, means concerning or about. He is testifying concerning him, kai kekrege legon, and has cried, saying, houtos ein honepon. This one, houtos, again, the demonstrative pronoun, the mere demonstrative, as John is pointing to Jesus Christ. So he has cried, saying, this one was whom I said. Apon, by the way, is a second aorist verb. This one was whom I said, the one after me, ho'opiso mu. Ho is your nominative singular masculine article. when used by itself, is used as a substantive, the one or the man. Opiso is an adverb, and we haven't had adverbs yet. But we have mu, the genitive singular, first-person personal pronoun. But notice that ho and mu do not have accents. Ho is a proclitic, mu is an enclitic. Ho, the proclitic, goes so closely with the word that follows so as to have no accent of its own. Mu, an enclitic, goes so closely with the word that comes before it so as to have no accent of its own. So these three are actually pronounced as they are one word. Ho opiso mu. Ercomenos emprosthen mu gegonin. The one after me coming before me has become. Emprosthen is your preposition with the genitive meaning before, in the presence of. He has become before me. Hoti, because, line 36, protos mu ein. First of me he was. Notice protos mu. The genitive singular first person personal pronoun mu, again, is an enclitic, goes so closely with the word that goes before it as to have no accent of its own, so it's pronounced protos mu. Protos is an adjective describing what kind of person. Because first of me he was. Ein, again, is your third person singular, imperfect active indicative, showing continuous action. He was continually first of me or before me. Line 36, verse 16. Kai ek tu pleromatos, and out of the fullness of him. Out to, or out of his fullness. Ek is your preposition used with the genitive. Ek is translated out of as a source. And from out of his fullness, we ourselves, hemes, all pontes, received elabomen. Again, elabomen is a second aorist tense verb. And you'll notice that hemes, your nominative plural first person personal pronoun, is used, not necessary, because in the word elabomen, omen is your first person plural that denotes we anyway. But when hemes is put in the text, it intensifies. We ourselves all received, line 38, kai karin anti karitos, and grace, succeeding grace. Anti is a preposition, when used with the genitive, means succeeding, taking the place of. So grace taking the place of grace, like the waves of the sea. Line 38, verse 17. Hoti honomos, because the law, nomos being your nominative singular masculine, second declension noun, with the matching article, ho, matching and gender number of case, because the law, dia moseos, through Moses, again, dia used with the genitive, meaning through, was given, adothe. The grace, he charis. Page 15, line 40. Kai he aletheia, and the truth, through Jesus Christ, became. That's dia, Iesu Christu. Dia is a preposition when used with the genitive is translated through. Iesu Christu, notice the genitive endings. We haven't had the study of personal names yet, but you can tell these are genitive singulars by the endings. So through Jesus Christ, the truth became egeneto. Again, a second aorist verb. Line 41, verse 18. Theon, God, udes, no one, has seen, heoreke, at any time, popote. Line 42. Ho monogenes huios, the only begotten son. Ho on, the one who exists, eis ton kopon, into the bosom of the Father, tu patros. That one, demonstrative pronoun, pointing far, away. That one, ekenos, exegesato. Exegesato. Remember one of our vocabulary words, hegeomai, comes from ago, to lead, and ek in front of it, ek ago, exegesato. Exegeomai means to lead out, to take someone in a text and lead them out, to narrate, to explain a text. Exegesato is your first aorist middle indicative, third person singular, of exegeomai, ek, out of, and ago, to lead. Notice the significance of the aorist tense. That one, meaning Christ, has declared him. The aorist middle indicative. Once and for all, he doesn't continue to declare. The same message continues to be declared, but there's no new revelation. He fully and completely declared him at a point in time in history. You should review this exercise while going on to Lesson 25 and the study of second aorist verbs.